to overload. And nobody's gonna go to school today. She's gonna make them stay at home. And Daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good as gold. And he can see no reasons, 'cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown?
Good afternoon, everybody. Jonathan Scott with Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio, 920 AM. Hope you had a great weekend. And as usual, my co-host for the last 6 years, Jeffrey with a G. Jeffrey Kramer, how are you, sir?
Just in the nick of time.
I know, just in the nick
of time. I was racing a mall outside. He was coming from the west. I was coming from the east on Flamingo. We were deciding who was going to pull in the parking lot first.
Oh, he saw me.
He made a beeline for the door. Yo, he's got some wheels.
Sportscaster Amal Shaw.
How are you, Jonathan? Good to be with you guys.
Hey, good to have you. And a racing legend and a good friend of mine from the Mint 400 and also from Grape Expectations, KJ Howe.
Oh, happy to be here. Thank you.
Thanks
How are you, sir?
Us, buddy. So lots going on. A lot of trades and buys, and let's start off with what's happening over the weekend. What's the big story? Veal Cutlet, is that our lead story? Jay Cutler going
like
to
that?
The Dolphins.
You like that?
You know, I always wish I could legally steal money from somebody, but $10 million from Miami, wow, that's a gift.
Are you ready for this, John? I've been saving this for you, which is why I was late.
Oh, okay. Something's fishy.
How great is that?
I love that. I talk to Jeffrey all the time.
All year long, he says to me, because I sell seafood, that I should call the company Something's Fishy. And I always say, well, people don't really want to buy seafood from a company called Something's Fishy.
I would agree with that.
Sure enough, today, the Chicago Sun-Times, their sports page, with Jay Cutler, Something's Fishy. So I want to talk about this for a minute, because I know a lot of people are up in arms that Colin Kaepernick was not picked up in lieu of Jay Cutler. So let's just look at the situation. Adam Gase was Cutler's offensive coordinator in Chicago, where he had his most success under Gase as his offensive coordinator. Secondly, what people don't remember, Mr. Kaepernick had the chutzpah to wear a Fidel Castro t-shirt, which in South Florida would not go over very well.
No, they still have family that have been imprisoned by Castro for 30 years.
So if you're Gase and you have to grab a QB on the fly because Tannehill went down and your choice is Cutler or Kaepernick, that's not a choice.
I agree with Jeffrey completely. We had a caller on the show last week on Sirius when a guy from Fort Lauderdale covers the Dolphins. That was one of the things he mentioned. The reason why the Dolphins are not going to bring in Kaepernick is he goes, even though he's not siding with Castro, him seen wearing a Castro shirt in South Florida just does not go over well. There are certain things you can get away with in certain markets, and in other places you just can't, and that's one of those things in South Florida that's an absolute no-no.
Totally agree, and people don't realize in South Florida, specifically in Miami, how close-knit that little Havana community is. That would not go over at all. That would be a PR nightmare.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes. Well, I mean, I think, you know, people are trying to get past the point and the political part of Kaepernick to just look at him as a player.
But the thing is, here's the bottom line. He's not that great of a player to bring in the laundry that comes with him.
Agreed.
If he was Michael Jordan, there would be no argument. He'd be in 1 second. And the problem is his talent doesn't supersede the baggage that comes with him.
Perhaps not. But what people say is he not at least a top 32 quarterback? Do you think he's better than at least some of the 32 starting quarterbacks right now? Cleveland starting Brock Osweiler in their upcoming preseason game.
Right, but somebody's going to have to pay him, and in this case, Cleveland would be the one footing the bill for Osweiler, even if they released him. Here's the thing. You're correct. Kaepernick is probably better than 5 to 8 starting quarterbacks.
He's at the bottom third of the league.
Yeah, exactly, but here's the problem. If I'm an owner, I don't want to bring in a guy that's going to bring in some resentment from fans. It might be a small 10 to 15%, and you know what? You guys all know this, being in the public eye. when you're out there marketing a product or whatever it is, you're putting it out there, you don't want any negative connotation, especially if you can avoid bringing it to yourself. Sometimes you can't avoid certain things. But at some point in time, you've got to look at what the rate of return is. And in Kaepernick's case, he's a negative rate of return.
Well, and the other thing is, if you are going to play for a lower echelon team, they don't need the extra paparazzi media attention taking away from what they're trying to do on the field. They're trying to grade their players. They're trying to see who's going to start. To have this guy walk in and just put everything in disarray, it's crazy.
Jeffrey, you bring up a great point, because you know what would happen is, and I hate guys that do this in the media, in every press conference, even though he's a backup quarterback, there'd be a question about him.
Yep.
You don't ask questions about Jimmy Garoppolo in New England press conferences. But with Kaepernick, you'd be asking about him every day.
Well, and the other thing is, as soon as you'd have an injury, Kaepernick's name would be coming up. I think it was the right move. Do I think the Dolphins are going to do very well with Cutler? Maybe not. A couple of fantasy gurus I saw write this morning that it's certainly an upgrade for their receivers, having Cutler a quarterback versus Tannehill. He tends to go down the field a little more. Guys like Jarvis Landry and some of their other receivers could see a little bump in production for fantasy. However, the Las Vegas sports books didn't seem to like the move so much.
I love it. Jay Cutler is one of the worst against the spread quarterbacks there is out there.
And look at these numbers.
No, but I'm talking about like to win the futures, to win the Super Bowl. The Dolphins were 45-1. When Tannehill went down, they were 65-1. Now, after signing Cutler, they're 77-1.
Wow!
Look at these numbers over here that of Cutler with the Bears.
There's your starting quarterback, boys and girls.
Yeah, out of 137 completions, 81 completions out of 137 attempts, percentage of 59%.
Isn't awful.
Yeah, one last season. In 2016, one win and four losses. So
I think it's his interception ratio that really stands out. But what was interesting is I was listening to Herm Edwards on SportsCenter this morning, and he coached Vinny Testaverde on the Jets. And
you mean Interceptaverde?
I used to call him Interceptaverde all the time. But he made a good point. He said, at least you know what you're getting with the guy, even with the interceptions. In other words, he knows how to run the plays. He knows the plays. He knows where the players are supposed to be on the field. He'll get the ball to them most of the time, but under pressure, they make stupid decisions like Cutler does, and he panics and throws the ball away.
Look, he's here. You know the best comparison I can give? He's Jeff George.
Oh, wow. Big arm.
Big arm.
Big
looks,
arm.
Looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane. You know, in sports, we'd always say there's the guy's an all-airport team guy. What does that mean? When you have a center in college basketball who's 7 feet tall, you want him to be the first guy off the plane so they look intimidating. The guy can't play a lick, but at least he looks good coming off the plane. It's the same thing with Cutler.
That's a great line, actually.
Well,
hi, John.
KJ, are you a football fan?
Oh, I'm an everything fan.
Who's your team?
Oh, I'm a Patriots fan. Come on, I'm a Brady guy.
My man!
And the Bruins, and the Red Sox, and the Celtics.
Well,
and
obviously, you're a Boston guy.
I'm Marblehead, Danvers, Massachusetts.
Marblehead.
Sam Ray.
Oh, wow.
Bobby's from Salem.
Oh, Salem. Hi. I was born in Peabody, actually.
I grew up in Brookline.
Okay, well, here we are.
President Kennedy, you're from Brookline. I thought you were from Montreal.
Well, I was born in Montreal. I moved to Boston at 12. I went to Brookline High School, where President Kennedy was born, where Theo
Epstein went to school also. Yes,
yeah,
correct.
Absolutely.
He had a good hockey team, if I remember. Brookline had a pretty decent hockey team.
I was on that hockey team.
I played for Danvers.
I was their goalie.
They're your goalie.
Yep.
Oh, stopped a lot of pucks, huh?
No jokes. No jokes.
Now, KJ and I were drinking over the weekend. Shocking. I know there's nothing unusual about that.
Yeah, right.
Except KJ represents a company called Grape Expectations, and where you can make your own wine and get some friends together. You get 8 or 9 guys or gals, and you spend about 8-9 months. You pick the grape. Why don't you get into that a little bit? How do you start by picking the grapes? Or
yeah, well, the big thing is we have 5,000 people making wine with us. Okay?
Is that all? Wow.
And you get 10, 15 people get together. The most important thing and difficult thing is if we get that many people together deciding exactly what kind of wine they're going to make, to have them come to consensus. So I help them out a bit and give them nudge them in the right direction if in case they can't figure out what they're going to make. Because a lot of people just read what's on the label of a particular bottle of wine they like. For example, if it says Cabernet Sauvignon, it only has to have 75%. So if you're going to make your own wine, you got to know that the other 10 or 15 or 20% or 25% is going to be Merlot or Cab Franc or whatever.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that all wines are blends either. There are straight cabs.
There are straight cabs. It has to say 100%, but it does not have to say it on the label. You
right.
See,
oh, only 75%.
Yeah, by law. So that's California. Now, Oregon, Washington, different laws. New York State's different laws. Everybody's different. Yeah. But it's a 9-month process. We start, matter of fact, people that want to make wine with us have to get their order in by August 31st because the harvest is upon us. And we'll be doing production from the 1st of September all the way through into October.
And are you only pulling from vineyards in the United States?
No, we also get Chile and South Africa as
you
well.
You do?
In the opposite
season. I love some of the Chilean wines.
Great, great. Carmenera and the Malbecs are outstanding. As a
phenomenal.
KJ, what's a key ingredient in terms of really being a region that grows grapes that are essential to making a good wine?
Oh, it has to. It's the terroir, which is a combination of many, many things. The soil, the weather, proximity to bodies of water, a lack of therein, all of that plays a part, especially when you have, you want warm days, cool nights for a lot of grape varietals, and some areas just don't have warm days and cool nights, you know, to get balance in acidity and body.
Now, do you go into the vineyard knowing that this could be a good year for certain grapes?
We keep very close touch with our growers because we are with them a long time now, 10 years, and they'll steer us away from a particular varietal that may or may not be coming in well. And so we'll advise our winemakers of that, and they're happy that we do just that.
And I understand last year was a very good year?
Excellent year. Last couple of years are very, very, very good. Even when we had the drought, we had good wine.
Interesting.
Because the rootstock went farther into the soil and got a little more minerality, because where we get our grapes, they have their own groundwater. So they weren't relying on the aqueduct in Northern California.
The vineyard has their own underground water.
Groundwater, so they tap down. And,
that's very cool.
The rootstock itself taps down another 10 feet maybe to get that water, you know. So if the aquifer has dropped, they'll go right after it.
I got to change subjects for a minute here. KJ, you look great. I was reading your bio. I was shocked when I saw your age. I'm not going to disclose it, but you look amazing. You're in fantastic shape.
He's 37.
Don't I wish. Should have seen me.
Hold on. I heard to celebrate his birthday, you spent 3 hours playing hockey.
Yes, I did.
That's what I'm saying. That's amazing.
Where are you skating around here? Up on Flamingo?
The Fiesta. The Fiesta.
Oh, the Fiesta has a rink?
Hell yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, the rink that used to be at the Santa Fe moved over to the Fiesta there on Rancho, and sometimes I'll skate over
there.
How
are the legs these days?
Oh, they're pretty damn good shape. Helps me when I'm skiing, too, because I love to ski, so one goes with the other. You know?
Unbelievable.
That's awesome. Yeah,
He's also still chasing women.
I love women.
Oh, he just forgets why he chases them when he catches them.
I love this guy. Women, wine, and hockey. Hey, my kind of guy.
Linda Carter, Vanna White, all men 400 girls.
That's the other thing.
I heard you discovered Linda Carter. Is that true?
I did. I certainly did. I hired her as a singer in the Merry Mint Lounge in the Mint Hotel, downtown Las Vegas, 1971. True story.
Wow. Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman. Then became Wonder Woman and Miss World USA and... A nice lady, too, really. I saw her at the South Point the Suncoast. Two years ago, she was out there and really sings good and
unbelievable.
Looks great still for her age. Vanna White, however, is unbelievable.
Really?
She is so beautiful and so nice now that she's had all that success.
She could turn a letter, can't she?
I've always thought she was gorgeous.
She's great. She's got a great personality. And I saw her at Aspen 2 years ago, and she came up, and we talked, and she introduced me to everybody and told everybody about
her. You obviously already knew her?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very good.
KJ's a legend. I got to tell you. I was with KJ at the Mint 400. You were with us.
I was.
Jeffrey with a G.
He's like a legend down there.
He is a legend. He is a. We're walking down the street and Jay Leno stops to say hello to KJ.
Yeah. The women that were having lunch and drinks on the deck came off the deck, like beat at you two. Hey KJ, how you doing?
I know. We had a lot of fun then.
So how did that? I know you were with the Mint Hotel, so why don't you indulge us a little bit? But you know what? Actually, hang on to that. Let's take our first commercial break and come back with that story because it's a good one. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio. got back at NBC Sports Radio, K-Bad, listening to Vegas Nonstop. And Bobby felt like it's going to be a Rolling Stones kind of a day today.
It's always a Rolling Stones,
kind of a day.
Come
Ron
on.
Ron Wood losing his hair. That was in the news
how
today.
How about keeping his life?
Keeping his life. Yeah. He said he's going to refuse the chemotherapy if he's going to lose his hair.
Okay.
How stupid is that?
You're Ron Wood. You get to do what you want, man.
I guess you do.
He'll borrow Keith's hair.
Join us on Fridays for our podcast over at Metropolitan Art Gallery, where they actually had some of Ron Wood's art on exhibit. Great pop art, great contemporary art, and we're gonna do a wine tasting and a party over there in the very near future. We'll get KJ. KJ's in.
I'm in for sure.
KJ's in. So I'll take this away and. If you're anywhere near a computer, we broadcast live on Facebook Live at Jonathan Scott LV, J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N, Scott LV. So check that out and let us know you're watching. Give us some comments and some feedback. Jeffrey with a G, you want to talk about baseball?
Yeah, it's kind of a sad day. We lost a couple of great baseball players this past weekend. Darren Dalton, Dutch, the catcher for the Phillies that played in the 93 World Series, unfortunately passed away this weekend from brain cancer. And one of my favorite players, Don Baylor, who led the 86 Red Sox to the World Series, also passed away a little older at 68, but also another victim of cancer, which is just terrible. But Baylor was a MVP of the league in 79. He had a great career, 350-plus home runs. Was a manager in the league. I believe he was the manager of the year, 95, with the Rockies. And another interesting stat was he finished off his career 86, 87, and 88 with the Red Sox, the Twins, and the A's. Went to the World Series with all three teams. Yep. And got his ring with Kirby and the Twins in 87.
Wow.
So my condolences to his family, but man, I loved watching DB play. And prolific at taking the hit right here on the arm. Fourth all-time in plunks.
A lot of players getting hit this season. A lot of that going on, huh?
Yeah, but not the way it was done properly back in the day when they took care of their business on the field. The stuff they do today is ridiculous.
Absolutely right.
And he also managed the Chicago Cubs as well.
Oh, yeah, Cubs manager, yeah, that's right.
Baylor,
2002.
Three seasons.
Oh, that was the year I was unconscious.
And Bobby was right. He was the inaugural coach for the Rockies, and he was coach of the year that year with them. So, sorry, DB, man. It was great watching you, man. Great player.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate, you know, but as we were talking about off the air, I guess for us, all of us being a little bit older than maybe the average person out here in Las Vegas, you start to, these things hit home a little bit more than they do with other people. I can remember when I was in my 20s, you don't really think much of it.
That's right.
But as you get older, you start to think of it more and more.
Well, when you see a guy like Darren Dalton, who's 55, and I'm like, I'm not really that too far behind him.
And you look like you're 27.
Thank you.
You do.
All right. So,
young,
so yeah. Before the break, we were talking to KJ about working at the Mint Hotel and how you started the Mint 400 and how that all developed. So, if you would please pick us up,
well,
KJ.
I actually did not start the Mint 400. Oh. I got there in 1970, and Norm Johnson and Mel Larson were the beginnings of the race.
67, right? They started
67, 68, right in there, and. I got there, and the next thing I know, I'm the race director, and I had it for about 18 years, and we, in those days, we had maybe 100, 120, 150 entries, and in about 1978 or 9, we went up to almost 525 entries with 100,000 people around the course and a 100-mile loop out in the desert north of town, and it was a wonderful experience for me coming to Las Vegas, and the guys that ran the Del Webb organization, General Ed Nigro and men like Andrew Zorny and Jess Hinkle, gave me an opportunity to do something that I love, and I loved racing all my life. I raced in Europe, and I raced on the plane. I never was in an off-road car because it was a new sport, a fledgling sport. So I got the chance to be part of the beginnings, and with the likes of Parnelli Jones and the Unsers and all the great entertainment luminaries like Garner and James Garner and all those guys. Unbelievable fun to be teeing it up against them and hanging with them. It was a lot of fun.
I would imagine.
Thomas Rojas just texts in, KJ is the man.
Tom, what a great guy he is. Hey, he plays a good axe, I'll tell you that, Tom.
Yeah, Tom's been on with us on the podcast, on the Friday noon show.
He's a great guy.
That's one thing I love about coming on with you, Jonathan. I meet so many interesting people in this town. I mean, I really do. It's amazing the people I've gotten to meet through Jonathan.
I've been doing this with Jonathan for 6 years. I've been in town for 8 years. I tell people all the time, this is a hobby. It's a labor of love. But I've met some of the most incredible people that are really entrenched in this city's history. And I'm blessed to be able to do it. So thank you, Jonathan, and thank you to
KJ. So let's talk
KJ.
About so the Mint Hotel was one of the first properties.
Oh, yeah. It was Del Webb. He had the Mint, the Sahara, the Thunderbird, Sahara Tahoe, Kualima in Hawaii. He was a big hotel magnate as well as a construction magnate and very confidant of Howard Hughes. And we had the Mint 400, which is a race, which was an evergreen. We had year-round publicity because of the race. And we had trap shooting tournaments and golf tournaments, and we had everything in those days. All the hotels had a sporting event or a golf tournament or something they could hang their hat on, and it was a lot of fun in the 70s. You know, at Caesars with the fights with Ron Amos bringing in the Russian boxing champions, and it was just fantastic to be around here in the 70s, really was.
So, KJ, you went from being in the hotel industry, and then you branched out on your own in terms of PR, is that right?
Right, I did. I was the Howe of Cooper, Bridge, and Howe Advertising when we, 1976, we formed that company, and then I ended up back at the hotel for a couple more years. I also, even when I was away from it, had a contract as the Mint 400 race director. So
now, what I know also that you did.
I ran a golf thing, too.
Well, no, aside from that, you know, one of our friends, Kurt Wiesner, from Big Dogs.
Big Dogs, Tom.
You worked with Kurt's dad, Tom Wiesner.
I was their marketing director, sure was.
And you were responsible for naming the Holy Cow.
I certainly was. I got a lot of trouble. Big meeting, everybody, you can't do that. That's terrible. I said, wait a minute. We got gambling. We're on the strip. We got lots of things going on. What's wrong with Holy Cow? And Tom cut it and said, you know what, KJ, you're absolutely right. That's what it's going to be called. I said, but hold on. Has to be Holy Cow with an exclamation point after it. And that was the thing. That was our logo. We had a lot of fun. What a great guy Tom Wiesner was, and what a great job Kurt's doing with his legacy.
Dear friend, Kurt, if you're listening, thanks for everything, pal. And if you like craft beer, you still have to go over to Big Dogs. They just had the beer
Saturday
festival
night.
On Saturday. Probably about 4,000 people came, reggae music. So the next one will be in the fall. And if you like craft beer, you got to stop over to Big Dogs and
get
some
food
beer
too.
And some walleye.
You like
and
your curds.
Some of that Wisconsin food over by there.
You like your cheese curds.
I like the ribs, really. I love the ribs over there.
I like the brats.
You like the brats?
I thought you said broads.
Broads.
I never
broads
said,
and the brats.
Never call them broads.
Never call them broads. Unless you're Oscar Goodman, then you could get away with calling them broads.
Yeah,
beef,
right.
Booze, and broads.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so we had football has kind of started in a way.
Yeah.
Kind of started.
We had the Hall of Fame game on Thursday night. The Cowboys won 20-18 in a very uneventful.
They covered?
depends on where you got the number, because the line opened at a pick and it closed at Dallas minus 2.5.
And by the way, shame on anyone out there that's betting on this kind of stuff.
Hold on. I respectfully disagree, because there are some spots in the preseason, if you follow it very closely, like I follow college religiously.
Okay.
And so for a guy like me, I know everybody on everybody's depth chart. So if you're looking at certain teams, there's a competition between the second and third string, that's going to be a team that's much more apt to throw the ball. They're going to be playing more of an offensive game because they want to see who their next quarterback is going to be in terms of
if Dak goes down, who's stepping in?
Right, exactly.
If Zeke goes down, who's stepping
in? Whereas the Cowboys are a little bit more set, but there are certain teams around the league, if you look at it in certain matchups, there's an opportunity there. You can make some good money on it.
Like, what are the Browns going to do?
Well, that's
I heard they signed OJ.
I'm sure he's probably better than any of their incumbents at running back currently.
Yeah, exactly. Although I did see that the over came in pretty easily, right? It was 33.
No, it was close.
It was close.
It
was 35.
And
what happened was they scored 22 points in about the first 8-9 minutes of the game. And
I saw Arizona went ahead 15-0.
And then they took the rest of the night off.
And then I see the finals 20-18. I said all they could muster was another field goal.
Yeah.
Well, I get it. Listen, you're bringing in your third and fourth.
So when's the next exhibition game?
Wednesday.
Well, but Wednesday's going to be like a full schedule. You're going to see a bunch of games.
I think. Well, I think Wednesday we have one game, and then I think it's.
Face.
And then I think Thursday and Friday we
so
get into
excited.
The
post. So excited!
You're shaking.
Look, I'm very excited.
They did have the Hall of Fame induction though Saturday night, which
was
pretty cool.
Normally I watch the whole thing, and the one speech that I didn't get to see that I wanted to see was Kurt Warner.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Jerry Jones.
Well, listen, hey, look.
He had the longest speech.
Listen, hey, let me tell you something. I like Jerry, okay? I've covered the Cowboys for 10 years. Jerry's a great guy,
when you
man.
Say you covered them in Dallas?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah,
listen,
Amal was from the Dallas market. When I first met him, he was still living in Dallas.
Yeah, and let me tell you, Jerry's a fun guy. You go to training camp, there's not a better owner around.
He's a
around.
Mushroom. He's a fun guy.
He told a great story during his speech how he was on a fishing trip with his son in Mexico in 1988 where he read that the Cowboys were for sale. When they made land, he found a hotel and a hard line then and somehow got in touch with someone in the Cowboys office and said, if I make it back into the country from Mexico, I'm telling you right now, I want to buy them Cowboys.
I didn't know you did dialects. 6 years. I didn't know you did,
dialects. Northwest Arkansas?
I thought that was actually a pretty cool story.
From anywhere.
I'll say this. You can say whatever you want about Jerry Jones. There's a lot of people that have disdain for him and dislike him. My experiences in dealing with him, the guy's a great guy. He's a very good, genuine person. He does a lot of things behind the scenes that people don't know with, like, Make-A-Wish and other things.
A lot of charitable stuff.
Absolutely.
In
and let me tell you, Michael Irvin will tell you this, Emmett, Troy, Daryl Johnson.
They all love him.
They love him.
I know.
He's very loyal to the people he's loyal
and
to.
And he'll go through a wall for his
absolutely.
Guys.
Absolutely.
You know what
Michael
I love the
Irvin
most?
Anywhere else would be gone long time ago.
You know what I love the most about the Cowboys? Cheerleaders.
Yeah.
They've got best cheerleaders. Cowboys, Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders.
Hey. Let me tell you, those Raiderettes aren't
dated,
bad either.
You've dated one, haven't you? Come on.
What you call dating.
Come on. Bobby, I think it's time to take another commercial break. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio 920 KBAD.
In 1988, I was on a fishing trip with my son in Mexico, and for some reason, the next morning I got up, I was feeling pretty rough. I don't know why, but I was drinking a lot of coffee, and I was reading the paper when I learned that the Dallas Cowboys were for sale. I found a phone in the lobby, and I got someone on the other end of the connection, and I said, you don't know me from Adam. My name is Jerry Jones, and if I live to make it back to the United States, I'm going to buy the Dallas Cowboys. Hangover be damned. I really, though, was intoxicated with the idea of being in the NFL and, by all means, getting a chance to be with the Dallas Cowboys.
We're back live. And we're back live. John Scott, Vegas, nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio 920 KBAD. It's a Rolling Stones kind of a Monday, and it's backed up with the spaghetti ball. 97 degrees outside here in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada.
Radio guy.
It's radio guy, yeah. So, KJ, you know what? Todd Bradley was supposed to show up today. I don't know what the heck happened to him. But what's Baja Racing like? You know, I know Tom was won so many races.
Tom, he's a great racer. Yeah, he used to be a boat racer, and then he kind of converted into off-road cars at a bar called the Starboard Tack many years ago. We had a little conversation.
Didn't that just reopen?
It's grand opening the 19th. No, it's on Sahara, East Sahara, and beyond Eastern, right there in Atlantic, crossing the Italian-American Club between the car dealers there.
I thought it was already open.
It's a soft opening. The grand opening will be the 19th of August. I don't know what time, but
and this is Tom's restaurant?
No. This is the
but it started in Baja.
The old site. But Tom and I used to frequent that place, and he said, KJ, I want to know about this off-road racing. I want to be involved, and I don't want to fool around. I want to be really involved. And he did. He got really involved. He went through all the classes and ended up with the trophy trucks and the big equipment. When he moved to Baja, he raced in Baja. I raced in Baja many times, but now he's down there racing, and it was racing in a series down there, and does very, very, very well. And he's no slouch behind the wheel.
Now, how are those? What are the kind of cars that they race down there?
Well, they race everything we race up here.
I mean, that's what I thought.
Everything from
two-seaters,
single-seaters, unlimited displacement. They have all different classes. There's about 18 different classes in off-road racing, okay? Everything from a stock Baja a bug, which is pretty much just a Volkswagen, was not a lot, not allowed to do a lot of suspension or anything, all the way up to a $1 million trophy truck. So, you know, you get with the Herbst boys, some other guys you probably should have on sometime, Eddie, Tim, and Troy, all race. They got a truck that's probably worth close to $1 million, and it flies. I'm telling you, it flies. So you have everything from the slow classes that could probably go 35 or 40 miles an hour through the rough stuff to a trophy truck that do that same piece of terrain at 90 or 100.
Wow.
And that's what I'm talking about. And their top speed is, you know, 150, 160 miles an hour, depending upon how they gear with the
150
ratios.
Off-road?
Oh, yeah. When you go across one of the deserts, you know, you're going to
have... Wow, I didn't even get that fast.
Oh, yeah. Well, it depends on your gearing, because they all have NASCAR engines in them, the big, big trucks. You know,
is this Tom's truck the one that I saw with the Mexican colors on it?
Probably. I don't know which one you're referring to.
Yeah, I know he keeps cars down there. He's about finished with his career.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's his. That looks like one of his.
Yeah, I think the family's racing too. Oh, yeah,
they say that thing's a beast.
Yeah, it is. And his son's a great racer too. And the whole Bradley gang is involved with off road racing. And
sounds like a lot of fun.
He's a great guy. God, he's been fun since I've known him. I've known him since the 70s, so early 70s.
You've known everybody since the 70s. Well, every time I meet an old timer, you guys know KJ Howe. Oh, no, KJ Howe. Oh, I wiped him up off the floor.
Yeah, not all the stories are true, because I was not naked when I threw the Christmas tree off the top of the mint.
Listen, when you grew up in Danvers, you know how to handle your beers.
Yeah.
We're going to the Packy. You need some beers.
Except on Sunday.
You're not kidding.
I like that New England accent there. That was solid.
I'm going down to the Cumberland Farm.
You sounded very much like Jerry Jones, Jeffrey with a G.
That does not sound like Jerry Jones.
I think you need more dialects.
The New England one's a little bit better than the Northwest Arkansas he's got.
I did actually spend time in Boston as opposed to Dallas.
Yeah.
Now, any news from Raider Nation? I keep seeing Raiders all over the newspapers here locally now.
What are you seeing?
I don't know. Just I'm asking you.
I don't know of anything new that has come to light, per se.
Nothing new's come about, but this is going to be a very competitive team, and it's really exciting if you're living here in Las Vegas simply because it's rare that you get an expansion team that's going to be good immediately. Usually when you get an expansion team in any sport, generally there's a time period in which the team's going to take a little bit to develop and become competitive. But the fortunate thing for us here living in Clark County and the surrounding areas is that this team is going to come in and they're going to really be a team that's viable for a Super Bowl.
This team's loaded with talent.
So this is a team. Look, if they got to the Super Bowl this year, I wouldn't be surprised. It might be next year, but they're right there. Barring injury, maybe a break here or there, this is a team that has the potential to win the Super Bowl.
Unfortunately for the Raiders, the only thing going against them is the New England Patriots.
Could they
possibly beat New England? Yeah, sure they can. Last year, they're 12-4. If Carr doesn't go down, they may make a run at the AFC Championship game.
Look, the Patriots are great, but I don't want to get bombed here because I got three Northeasterners here from New England.
Yeah. Well, I'm a Bears fan, so I don't have a dog in the fight.
My point is this.
You have a fish.
One of the things we were talking about this last week, everyone talks about what a great coach Belichick is, and not taking anything away from him. It's just that I think he's in a coaching fraternity of other guys who are just morons. I think he's the smartest guy by being the tallest midget.
You make a good point
because
I know. I don't know
that midgets is politically correct.
Well, sorry. Whatever. By the way, but my point is, look, in the Super Bowl, one of the things I said was during the game when the Falcons had the ball at the 25-yard line, don't run the ball. You take three straight knees, and you let Brian kick a 40-yard field goal. If he misses, he misses. But he's a guy who's missed
and
one kick.
And took a sack on third down.
He took a sack, right? And so the point is, you're going to give Belichick and Brady credit. They came back. But the reality is, that was a miscalculation and mismanagement by Atlanta, and it was the same thing done by Seattle.
People will tell you that Pete Carroll did the same thing with Marshawn Lynch. However, Belichick is the best at exploiting those opportunities.
No, I agree.
Making them the most to his advantage.
As John Wooden would say, in order to be successful, it's a combination of hard work and preparation
and
opportunity. Absolutely.
And there's no one better when the game's on the line and the clock's ticking down than Brady.
Absolutely. But if you look at New England's played in 7 Super Bowls, and to their credit, the 2 they lost were very close, and the 5 that they've won have been extremely close. They're a great team, but I don't put them on the elite level, those like Cowboys of the 90s who were just Dallas beat Buffalo by 35 points in
the
Super Bowl.
Or the Niners.
Jonathan Chicago Bears. I mean, New England Patriots are still picking up their wounds from
easy.
That.
Easy. Tony Eason did his best.
Hey, listen.
Mosey Tatupu, Craig James.
No, but my point is I'm not taking anything away from New England.
Stanley Morgan.
I think the Raiders We're very lucky here. We're going to get a team that's going to be very competitive and be very good immediately when they come here.
But they're not going to be that dominant. They're not going to kill people.
But look, the reality is, as a sports fan, let me ask you this. If you go to a game, do you really want to see a game that's 42-0, or do you want your team to win 31-24 on a last-second touchdown? The reality is you want 31-24.
Listen, for Patriots fans, the fact that we won those last two Super Bowls the way we did, Butler's interception and then the 25-point comeback, that's the best thing ever.
All I know is if I was a Patriot fan, I would have died a long time ago of a heart attack. As an Ohio State Buckeye, let me tell you, man, it's heart attack city every year.
I definitely almost died last year. Yeah,
that's true. A fair point. Yeah. You know what the funny thing is? It was funny. I was talking to somebody today about that Red Sox comeback when they came back down 0-3. And I remember my buddy goes, "You're the one who said Johnny Damon on the air is going to have a huge game in Game 7. He hit two homers.
Grand slam.
The grand slam, absolutely.
Off Kevin Brown to make it 6-2 and put it away.
And you know, it's funny. That team, when Robert stole second base, and now he's positioning the Dodgers to win a World Series.
Look, can we talk about the Dodgers for a minute? Do we have time?
Oh, my God. Oh.
Okay. We talk about culture on a team.
Yes.
And management and coaching. Look at the difference between what Mattingly did and what Roberts has done.
Why are you hating my guy Donnie Baseball?
I love Donnie Baseball as a player.
NBC Sports 920 The Game.
I never liked
him. He's a loud one.
I never liked him as a manager.
Sure.
I don't think he's doing a great job in Miami. There's something about Mattingly, I can't figure it out. He just doesn't have it.
No, I agree with you. I think there's certain people that have you can never truly quantify it.
Correct.
Whether it's in music, whether it's in arts,
agreed,
or in sports, whatever it is, some people have it, and it just works. Whether it's the way they communicate with certain people, what have you, and Dave Roberts has that. Alex Rodriguez made that point. He goes, Dave Roberts is the most efficient communicator between the front office and the players in terms of how
this
he interacts with people.
A-Rod.
Listen, Alex played in the game for nearly 20 years. You can say whatever you want about him. He's been around long enough to know.
All right, we're going to take our last commercial break, mid-breath from Jeffrey with a G, defending Mattingly.
I want to talk more Dodgers and baseball when we come
back. All right, you're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports 920 KBAD.
Chase the boy right through the park.
It's more funny to look at Jeffrey singing the song.
Come on, man.
I gotta wait for the chorus.
If this song doesn't get you going, man, you need some help. You need a blood transfusion.
Heartbreaker, ring the phone up for. I wanna tear your world apart.
This is it, man. Doesn't get better than that.
Heartbreaker, ring the phone up for.
Down to the Sky, Vegas, nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio, 920 AM KBAT. If you're near a computer, you can watch us on Facebook Live at Jonathan Scott LV. Like us, share us, like us, and like us on Instagram and Twitter and all the other social media stuff. And join us on Friday at our 12:30 lunch show on Facebook Live at Jonathan Scott LV. Jeffrey wants to talk more baseball because baseball has been very, very good to him.
Well, you know, man, unlike some of the other major sports, baseball has these little nuances and historic numbers that as fanatics, fans, that we just bury our heads in. I know Amal's the same way. Interesting date today, 10-year anniversary of Barry Bonds breaking Henry Aaron's home run record.
Steroids?
Today, 10 years. Hold on. Well, let's go into that, right? We're talking about the Hall of Fame. Bonds clearly is a Hall of Famer. Hasn't been voted in. Clemens hasn't been voted in. Palmeiro hasn't
Pete
been voted
in. Won't be voted in.
Wait, listen to these names. Manny Ramirez, Juan Gonzalez, Gary Sheffield. These guys all have the credentials to get in, and they're sitting on the sideline. But there's two names that I came across as I was doing some homework on this, and I don't know why they're not in the Hall of Fame.
I don't know why.
Freddie McGriff, the crime dog. I don't know why this guy is not in the Hall of Fame. Listen to these numbers. 1,350 runs, 2,490 hits, 284 batting average, 493 home runs, 1,550 ribbies, three-time silver slugger, 1995 World Series, five-time All-Star.
How many times was he married?
I don't know. Tell me why this guy, and he was not in the steroid era.
No, well, not only that, he was a guy you look at, he was just lean. I don't even know why, off the top of my head, I knew exactly how many homers he had. Because before you said, I was
you
about
said
to say
493?
I was about, yeah, you were about to say it, but I was away from the mic, so I didn't say it.
And, another name that came up was Harold Baines. We all watched Harold Baines
White
growing
Sox.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the Hall of Fame. It's not the Hall of Very Good.
That's where we're going. The Hall of Very Good.
Hall of Very Good. Really? Come on.
No, my point. Listen, you want to put in guys for longevity, and while there's
Freddie McGriff isn't a Hall of Famer.
No, I didn't say no on him.
You said Baines.
Yeah, I said no on Baines.
Okay.
I said Freddie McGriff. I don't have a problem. I think he's probably a Hall of Famer, but I don't think Harold Baines is a Hall of Famer.
Was Harold Baines with the White Sox?
Yeah. Absolutely.
When they won the World Series?
100%.
No, not in
05.
No.
I think he was already out of the game.
Yeah,
he last played in 01.
Look, he was a very good player.
Let me ask you this. Edgar Martinez, Hall of Famer?
In my opinion,
there's a reason for my question.
Yeah, no, because he's going to get in.
So in this year's eligibility, you know, they give you the rankings and you need 75% to get in. Edgar Martinez is at 59%. Freddie McGriff's at 21%.
Well, here's the problem. A couple things. Freddie McGriff played in Toronto, played in Tampa, played in
San
Atlanta.
Diego.
San Diego.
Yeah.
Markets that are not major markets. Not that Seattle's
Seattle?
A major market. No, listen. Seattle, though, is technically a bigger market than all those places. And also, it's not just that. Edgar's getting in more because he's a DH. And they want to be first DH nonsense. Look, in my opinion, Michael Strahan was never a Hall of Fame football player. But he played in New York and he knew how to play the media. That's why he's got a post-career. If you played in Kansas City, nobody even know who Michael Strahan is. A lot of things are timing, luck, and, you know, just where
and
you
markets.
Are.
And markets. I get it.
Yeah, look, is Derek Jeter as great of a player as he was? He played in New York with great players around him. He's not a great player, but nobody would ever look at him in the same light if he played in Tampa or if he played in Milwaukee.
Okay, agreed. You play in pinstripes and you win 5 World Series. Listen, put on a bigger...
As all you New Englanders like to say, Nomar would be a god if he played in New York City.
He didn't have the career to do it.
No, but what I'm saying is you get heightened because when you play in New York, it's almost like being on steroids when you play in New York. Look, Mike Trout has put up phenomenal numbers in witness protection in Anaheim. Okay, the guy has been unbelievable.
They compare him to Mick the Stick.
Listen, Joe Girardi was a great catcher for the Cubs.
Listen, Mike Trout has played in the league 5 years, not including this season. He's finished 2-1, 2-2-1 in the MVP voting. The guy is arguably the best player I've ever seen, and we don't even talk about him because he plays in Anaheim.
We do talk about him. We say he's the face of the game along with Harper.
No, he's not the face of the game. Bryce Harper gets as much pub as Mike Trout, and he's not even in the same area code. And I like Bryce Harper, but he's not in the same area code. Nolan Arenado.
You talking about talent-wise?
Listen,
Harper and Trout?
Call me when Bryce doesn't have a down year like he did last year. Mike Trout doesn't have bad years, and he plays with a big bag of dirt on his team. Albert Pujols couldn't hit his own weight right now. Okay?
Wait.
Hold on, Pujols. He's Killed at the end
the
of his career. You see the first 11 years
hey,
of his career?
They got 5 years and $120 million left on the deal. You want to tell Artie Moreno that?
I'm not talking about bad contracts. I'm talking about talent.
Well, because my point is...
I love it. I like it.
My point is, there's no way you could sit there and tell me having Daniel Murphy, Anthony Rendon, and Ryan Zimmerman in your lineup is the same as having Albert Pujols.
Saying that Harper has better protection in the lineup?
It's not even close, and to borrow a line from Breakfast Club.
I got you. But my point is, I'm just looking at these guys that are names, okay? Names that are coming up that'll be eligible for the Hall of Fame.
Go ahead.
Jim Thome.
He'll get in.
Okay. Chipper Jones.
Larry Wayne Jones will get in.
Okay. A-Rod.
He won't get in because he's a two-time guy on the steroids. Two suspensions.
Big Papi.
He will get in.
Why not Manny Ramirez?
Because he got suspended for 80 games for steroids.
Probably the greatest right-hand hitter I've seen in the last 20 years.
Forget that. I'll go 50 years. Absolutely. Okay. I agree with you.
This guy's got 1,800 ribbies.
Listen, I'm not even worried about the stats. I look at guys when they played, when you looked at them, you said that guy was elite. Yeah, absolutely.
You knew.
That's my point about Harold Baines. You never go, wow. Dude, do you want to go see Harold Baines tonight? No, I think I'd rather go watch some grass grow in the backyard.
Okay,
come on.
let me bring up a name that was just inducted last week. Yeah, Jeff Bagwell. Hall of Famer?
Not my book.
I agree.
I agree with Bobby. But listen,
he wasn't the guy that you looked at on the field and said, oh my God, he's a Hall of Famer.
Since I'm not going back to being a beat reporter anymore, let me tell you, have you ever been around these guys that cover baseball?
No.
Holy cow. They all have the personality.
Holy cow. Let me hear you now.
Holy cow.
You know, when did this tire drop? I'm a Bud man and I'm a Cub fan.
How do you spell Galarraga backwards?
Andre Galarraga backwards is regular Andre.
You jackass.
These guys have the personality drop. Keep in mind, Dan Le Batard didn't vote for Ken Griffey Jr. That's all you need to know about the Hall of Fame voting, okay?
Really?
Yeah, he was the only one. That's why he got suspended.
Have you ever gone to the induction?
No, I told you, man. There's at least 988 other things I'd rather
do. For Ken Griffey Jr.?
Oh, it was a great time. Have you been to Cooperstown?
No, I haven't been to Cooperstown. I've been to Springfield and Canton and Toronto for the other Hall of Fames, but I have not been to Cooperstown.
It's the best. I mean, yeah, I went for Tony Gwynn Jr.
That was a little bit different experience you got to go because you knew Tony, and so it's a little bit. Listen, if you're
and
going,
Cal,
yeah, if
I mean that was
listen,
one of the
come on,
that was one of the most epic induction ceremonies.
Yeah, exactly, that was the one that people remember.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
I mean, most of the time when people are going in the hall, it's an afterthought. Like with the NFL, it's actually a big event.
Yes.
With baseball, it's on that last Sunday in July, and people are like, oh, I didn't know that guy was still alive.
We could talk baseball all day.
Well, the clock on the wall tells us, and the music playing, that we've done with the Rolling Stones. We survived another Monday Vegas nonstop. I want to thank KJ Howe from Grape Expectations, Mid-400, and every other place that KJ's drinking
most
at.
Most fun I ever had on a radio show.
Love having you on, KJ. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me.
Amal Joe. Thank you for raising your voice.
Listen, Jeffrey got me fired up. You got me talking sports.
I don't get a lot of guys on the show that I can do this with.
Eat well and party hard, my friends. If you see us out there, please stop us, buy us a drink, get us a cocktail.
Or two.
By the way, everyone can afford to buy me a drink. It's water on the rocks.
Yeah, for me, it would be wine with KJ Howe. That's where we're going to be drinking wine. Absolutely. So thanks for listening, everybody. Eat well, party hard. Have a great week. If you see us out there, please say hello. Like us and share us. I don't like much.